This is true for every sin, and pornography is not an exception. Young man listening to this who is trapped in this and who's desperate, I want you to understand that this sin is not exempt from the grace of Jesus Christ. You have to accept responsibility for it, and then you have to accept the truth and reality of the freedom and the complete forgiveness and grace that comes with that.
He says that he loves you and that you are worth giving up Christ for, to pay for that sin so that you can live free from that sin. And he no longer sees you as that thing. That is not your identity. Pornography is not your identity. Hello, and welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, David Rethemeyer.
And I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And this week, we are going to be tackling, the two of us, a topic that unfortunately is pervasive amongst the world and unfortunately the Christian community. And Jonathan, you and I were just talking about this beforehand, that this is not something that we really want to talk about, but at this point, just because of how much of an issue that we see it being, not only just for the world in general, but for just the people that we know and have experience with, it's would just be malpractice for us to not talk about this.
Well, that word malpractice, I think, is a good one. Here's the reality. If you're listening to this, just know that as staff working with young adults, myself personally, on a pretty much weekly basis, I have received a call or a message or a text from a young man who is often, here's the situation, often losing his faith. And when I press, almost always, almost without exception, underneath that crisis of faith is a addiction to pornography. And so it's the pornography part we want to talk about here. And there's some things here that everybody says, and so we're going to make some assumptions, but I think we should name those assumptions so that we kind of have a basis to stand on. And then I want to go forward, because if you're listening and going, I don't want to listen to this, well, great, we don't want to talk about it, so we can all be miserable together.
And to be clear, like, this is not going to be us outlining all of the 10 million reasons why it's wrong. If you're listening to this, you probably already know the fact that it's wrong and it's unhelpful and that nobody should be feeding into this. What we want to do is have a more productive conversation on, okay, we know what's wrong, what now?
Exactly. This is going to be focused on primarily, these are the things, first of all, we don't have a magic bullet, but these are things that we see consistently do make a difference. And by talking about this, I hope that we're able to, you know, get some light shone on a dark subject, that we can maybe trade some ideas back and forth, and that we can get a bit of some traction on beating something that is really a difficult thing for a lot of people. So, all right, let's start with this. Most of you know this, but let's just make this really clear. Pornography, at a certain generation, people sort of belittle it because it was like, oh, those magazines were stored in the back room or whatever. And the simple point here is that pornography was always an issue, but accessibility was extremely difficult for most people. There were certainly exceptions for that, but there was a limit to how much you could access it or when you could access it. Of course, you know, you had to have a certain age to be able to buy it. It also had a shame component to it. If you were going to buy pornography, you had to talk to a real person at a counter to be able to purchase it and access it. Let's just state the obvious. Pornography now is easily accessible by anybody, any age, any place, practically with an internet connection. And so this is not scientific, but my experience is that the addiction rate among young men, and this can apply to young women as well, but we're going to limit our discussion today, at least primarily to young men, because that's the one I have the most experience in talking to. It's like 99%. And if that's depressing to you, it's depressing to everybody, right? I just mean that there's almost never, I don't know, in the last 10 years, I maybe have talked to two young men who didn't consider this to be a problem. And to put that in context, I talked to hundreds and probably thousands of young men at this point. And that's worth noting. And for all of you attached to a church, I just want you to wake up and think about this. I talked to a very prominent church leader, Christian leader, several years ago about this, and he kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, the church has always suffered with addiction. And I just want to really press on that and say, what's the level of addiction in your church when it comes to drugs, when it comes to alcohol, when it comes to whatever, right? 2%, 3%, 5%, any percentage number there is bad. I'm telling you that there's likely something like a high 90s% addiction rate in your church with men, and particularly young men. So I just want to put the ugly truth out there. This is an issue. Now, here's the second thing. I don't talk to young men who think that this is okay. In other words, I don't talk to any young man who comes to me and says, oh, I don't think this is a problem. The point is they're talking to me because they do know it's a problem. In other words, without exception, I talk to young people who say, I know this is a sin. I know this is wrong. And I know this is damaging, but I'm addicted. And so I want to make sure that all of our discussion after this starts with that realization. And from a Christian perspective, to be really clear, and I'll speak for David, I think quite confidently here, we are naming this as a grievous sin that goes against the will of God and is morally, ethically, spiritually wrong. So just to be super clear, we're naming this as something's wrong. But then we want to go on and go to the next step and say, okay, having known this is wrong, what are some of the things we do about that? And before I monologue this a little bit, David, anything to add before we kind of step into the solution part here?
Yeah, there is. I think that's a really important distinction that, there is very few people, especially in Christian circles, that would actually say, like, yes, this is a thing that I struggle with, but I don't really actually see that there's an issue with it. So you can potentially find some people out on the fringes that will try to justify it, but I think by and large that you'll find that to be universally true. And this, the danger that is there of just knowing logically that this is the wrong thing to do, but just finding the secret justifications that let's just be upfront come from the enemy, that they are 100% lies from the enemy, that that you end up feeding into yourself and believing that just perpetuates it, that just battle against that truth that is very consciously there is a challenge. And so it is at its core, I think, a battle between lies and truth. And so this is why we feel so much of a need to talk about this.
And it's worth noting that we're talking inside of a Christian culture, a Christian understanding. Outside of a Christian understanding, there is broad acceptance for pornography across the culture. I'm continually stunned by the almost blatant endorsement of pornography I get in certain secular circles. I would say what I would consider previously, respectable secular circles.
Even among conservative secular circles, it's becoming more and more accepted. Yes.
I listen to The Economist podcast. The Economist is a big news magazine out of Britain. And the amount of apologetics they do for pornography is just disgusting and sickening to me. And so we're noting that there's a major secular drive here. But inside Christian circles, there's a pretty universal, understanding this is a sin. And we talk about the young men that we work with on a regular basis. There is, 100%. My experience is 100% acceptance of this as a sin, but there's a addiction there. So all that is based on that. So if we send anything that seems like we're taking this lightly past this, please know it's in light of this. We see this as a grievous sin that is damaging to everybody involved in the process. Now, one of the other reasons we need to state that we're talking about this is that whatever has been bad about pornography before just got 10,000x'd, whatever hyperbole you want to stick on it, because of AI. And we don't need to go into the specifics of that. Part of the reason I'm talking about this is because recent developments in AI has extremely increased my conversation level with young men, which is why I feel like there's a point where we just can't stay silent about this and really need to name this. So all right. So first of all, if you are a parent, you should know that this is going to be an issue. If you're a young person, particularly if you're a young man, you already know this is going to be an issue. And so the first thing we need to say is that this is an issue and you are not alone. That does not make it okay. It's not like, oh, great, we're all robbing banks, so that's fine. We don't mean that in any way, shape, or form. But we also want you to know that this particular sin is often most grievous because it happens in the dark and people think they're the only ones addicted. And so the answer here is that you're not, and that's bad for all of us as a culture, but it also means you're not unique. And the important thing, the reason we say that for is that, and there is life and freedom past this addiction. And we have tremendous experience with that as well. And so, first of all, you're not alone. Secondly, there is freedom past this. And so let's talk about a couple of the things that do that. Now, I want to preface it. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, just to put this out there, that I would say that, like, yeah, I am an example of that. I'll just say that here publicly, that, yeah, I was pretty heavily addicted between the ages of around 13 to 14 through even into some of my early 20s was around the period where that was a serious issue for me, on and off at to different extents at different points. I found different things that worked and didn't work for me that in trying to combat that. But I can say that I have been pretty much completely clean from that for several years now at this point. And just something that is worth noting is that I didn't find a magic bullet, you know, to your earlier point, that there was never anything that was just like, I finally found the trick that, you know, I almost thought for a while that it was going to be like fighting a hard video game boss, that like, if I just found the one, like the weak spot, if I just found the one thing, then I was going to be able to get over it. And the truth is, that's not how it worked. The truth was, it took a lot of really hard, intentional effort and a lot of little things that added up to work towards that. And to this day, even just let's put it out there, even as a married man, I've been very happily married for over a year and a half at this point. It's still something that comes up as a temptation. Like, that doesn't just magically go away. And so just to address a common lie that I know that I struggled with and that I know several other young men that I've talked to have struggled with. No, marriage doesn't fix it. So don't try to rush into marriage, especially if it's still an issue for you, and just because you think that that's finally going to solve it for you. It doesn't. And so what we're hoping to do is to shed a light on that and just add from the perspective of ourselves and from other very wise people that we know who can say, hey, there is hope beyond this, and it's hard, and it's still probably to some extent or another going to be a temptation for you for the rest of your life, most likely. But it does get easier because you get more and more practiced with using those skills and resisting that temptation and building that muscle of resistance within you.
Clear. I'm not claiming any self-righteousness here myself. I entered college at a time when the internet was starting to become a thing, and that was the first time that I realized that there was access to that kind of material, and had the same issue that David did, an addiction problem in college. Now, the one thing that I can offer as hope is that college was a long time ago for me, and this is not an addiction that has ruled my life. But I would also echo David. I don't have a problem with or experience with alcoholism, but if you talk to an alcoholic, you know, once they get clean, once they get clear, they still have to avoid alcohol. And I would say the same thing, that there are steps that you have to build for the rest of your life to avoid temptation. But I'm going to talk about why that is in some ways a good thing. Not that temptation is a good thing, but that kind of discipline is a good thing. So hold that thought for a minute. So first of all, know that this is widespread. So don't be surprised by that, and don't think that you're alone. Let's start with the very basics. From a Christian standpoint, it is essential that you recognize this as a damaging sin. And we can tell you from perspectives as staff who work with young people, as married men, as men, that there is profound damage to you, to your future relationships, to your spiritual health. It's caused by pornography. And so you need to recognize that. You need to accept responsibility for it. And you need to bring that to God as a confession of sin. Now, this next part is the most important part of what we want to say. This is nothing less than the reality of the truth of the gospel. When you bring that as sin to Christ, you are forgiven when you repent of that. And you stand before God holy as if that sin hadn't happened. This is true for every sin, and pornography is not an exception. Young man listening to this who is trapped in this and who's desperate, I want you to understand that this sin is not exempt from the grace of Jesus Christ. And you need to be able to do both those things. You have to accept responsibility for it, and then you have to accept the truth and reality of the freedom and the complete forgiveness and grace that comes with that. Now, you may have gotten that far already and said, and yes, but I went back to the sin. And that is unfortunately a problem with all sin, and this one in particular. And so now let's take a next step and say, okay, start there. And then let's start with a couple of things, and let's start with the immediate. And then we're going to get not so much abstract, but we want to get upstream of this problem, right? So the assumption is we have an addiction problem. We need to break the addiction cycle. Then we want to create systems and sort of disciplines that help us not get into the place where we have to immediately fight the addiction cycle, right? So two things that are necessary immediately. So confession, acceptance of grace. Please hear this clearly. This is not a battle that should be fought alone. And frankly, the isolation of this is the primary weapon of the enemy in this.
Amen.
And so find somebody you can talk to. And you should have people in your life you can do that. And if you don't, contact Unbound. We've got people that we can talk to you about this. That's not our primary job. We're not charging anything for it. But if necessary, you just call us and we'll help you, you know, and maybe guide you and coach you into finding somebody in your life. But this is something you need to talk to another real person, ideally somebody who knows you and loves you. And you need to say, I need accountability. I need support. And I need prayer in this. So confession, you know, acceptance, responsibility, confession, acceptance of grace. And now immediately, the first thing you're going to need to do is you're going to need to go to somebody you trust and say, I need help. I need you to walk with me in this. And you should know that you're likely to find somebody who is either struggling or has ideally overcome this struggle themselves. And so just pause there. David, any thoughts before we move into kind of the next level here?
We know it's tough to find the right resources for your high schooler. That's where Equip by Unbound comes in. This program for 9th through 11th graders combines Christian worldview training, coaching, and hands-on projects that help students apply what they're learning in real life. By year's end, they'll have stronger skills, clearer direction, and more confidence for what's ahead. Prices are going up soon, so now's the time. Learn more at beunbound.us/equip.
Yeah, I think that is the importance of that cannot be understated, that I think this is the enemy uses shame to perpetuate this within you, is that if you are somebody who struggles with this, you know that, like, you know that this is something that's wrong. We've talked about that extensively. And yet the fact that you keep wanting to go back to it is one of the hardest things. And so actually, when you're in the midst of that, you feel ashamed. You feel like a terrible person. You feel like you should not be worthy of any good things, and that you should not ever, like, talk about this at any point. But yeah, hear this, that shame is a large part of what the enemy uses to give power to this addiction. Because of the redemption of Christ, yes, it's still a bad thing, but it is every single bit as covered as any other sin in your life. And so, yes, it does need to be addressed very specifically, but once it is addressed, it is just as overcomable and just as covered by Christ. And Christ does not see you or the person that you want to give help to. Christ does not see them as a porn addict. Christ sees them as a person that he loves. And so that is just, you cannot overstate how important it is to recognize that shame gives power to the addiction, and to let go of that, especially in community with someone else who can then speak that to you. Because especially if you're in the midst of that, trying to say those truths to yourself can feel empty. But when you have someone else, another person who sees you, knows you, and says, I see all of this. I see that you have done something that is wrong, and I love you anyway, and God loves you. Hearing that externally is extraordinarily powerful.
And maybe a point of caution here. Look for a person who has a mature understanding of the faith. This is likely to be an older person than you. You're not likely to find this in your peer group, and you need somebody that has that peace that David talked about. You don't want somebody who tolerates this and says it's fine. That's not what we're talking about. But we also are not looking for somebody who's going to berate you for this. Now, let me be clear. You need to be berated in some level, right? I mean, so I'm not exempting you from it. But you need to have somebody who berates you in the context of grace and understanding of that. So you're looking for somebody who has a solid understanding of Christian theology and the maturity to communicate that well.
Yeah, I remember when I was at a Christian summer camp when I was a teenager, and there was a group of a bunch of the teenage boys who, like, after a particularly powerful message of one night would just come together and would, you know, there would be like a time of confession. And of course, pretty much all of them ended up confessing that they looked at porn. And so then we're all just like, oh, wow, we all do this. And we have no idea what to do about it. And because, like, it only stayed amongst just a bunch of teenage boys who had no idea how to move on from that and figure that out. And so there's power in confession, but also I think Jonathan's point is very, very important. Like, try to find someone who will be able to help you and give you the tools to work through it. And it won't just be the blind leading the blind.
Yeah. And somebody who has experienced freedom. So the second part here is that technology can help, but technology is also the problem. So acknowledge two things. And look, this is where you find out if you're really serious. It requires a dedication here. And we're gonna finish talking about this, so hold this thought, right? This seriousness is a good thing. So let's just state for the record that there are overwhelming amounts of evidence that not only is pornography bad, but screen addiction is bad. If you want to live to your full potential as being made in the image of God and who you are, and we're talking especially to young men, and grow into a fully responsible adult man, then that does not include massive screen addiction of any kind, even for good things. And so let's just make this really clear. Your addiction to pornography is almost 100% likely to come through a screen, and is likely to come through a screen when you are in privacy. So the first obvious thing to do here is to not use screens in private, period, the end. This is where 100% is easier than 99%. You know, you don't browse the internet, you don't watch YouTube videos, you don't do those things unless you're in some sort of public setting. So start there. The second part is that I find the most kind of excused thing here is putting filtering devices on, you know, filtering software in your devices. I've heard everything from it's too expensive, it makes things slow, it doesn't work 100%. Look, the idea here is that porn hits because it's private and because it's immediate. And so can you defeat a filtering device? Certainly. But you're going to have to work at it. And that slows it down and that moves the immediacy. Is it going to be perfect? No, but it's going to make things more difficult. And that causes a slowdown. And the slowdown is what you need to kind of recalibrate and go, wait a second, do I really want to do this? And so there is amazingly good filtering software. And if you are unwilling to pay for it and you're unwilling to set it on your phone, you're unwilling to really address this. And so this is a level of accepting responsibility, and probably the most effective filtering software just reports your browsing history to a partner. And, you know, if you have a partner, first of all, for most people, that's the shame of that is enough to immediately cause a cessation of activity. But secondly, if it doesn't, you now have somebody that says, dude, what are you doing? And you have an instant call to accountability. And in all sin, it is that necessity to be called to accountability that's important. So, you know, think about changing the way you interact with technology. And if you're not willing to put filtering software on your devices, you're not serious enough yet to fix the problem that you have and move to freedom.
Yep. Just, some practical recommendations for one thing, because, yeah, this was a serious problem for me because I used the justification that, like, well, my work is on my computer. That is how I make a living. And so, you know, I need to be able to have a lot of screen time, and I didn't really have a lot of opportunities to make sure that my screen time was in public. So that was a big challenge for me. And so, filtering software, yes, it costs money, but I would argue that pornography costs a significant lot more in terms of what it does to your soul and to your integrity if you continue in it. And so the, you know, $50, $60, whatever you might pay for it, is worth it. And just a couple of softwares that I'll personally recommend, especially for desktop computers, Cold Turkey, I found is very good. And for mobile phones, BlockSight is also very good. Both of those, the great thing about them is that they have uninstall protection, so it keeps you from getting rid of them. I've had to work hard to find ones that I can't easily turn off because I'm tech savvy. So that was something that I had to make sure of. And both of those those require passwords. And so what I've done is I have just generated a super long, complicated password, plugged that in, and then gave that to somebody else. So I don't know the password, and it would take me like going to someone else to get access to that password to get it off of my devices. And there's also some complete network-wide ones as well, like OpenDNS, if you want to get into those. So there's a few very practical recommendations for you.
I just want you to think about, you know, these are not difficult things. Putting a blocking setting on and giving a password to somebody else, you've now cut off 99% of the flow, right? And just some other things, you know, so you work on your computer all the time and you say, well, I have to do that solo. That's fine. Work in an unlocked room and turn your monitor so the people that walk in the door can see it. This is just a very interesting physical thing. Does that mean you're going to be, you know, have somebody looking over your shoulder 100% of the time? No, but it does mean that you don't know when somebody's going to walk in and see that. And so those little things can make a big difference. So, all right. So get serious about, you know, your use of screens, your use of technology. We use the blocking stuff. Here's where we get a little bit more. It's very practical, but this is the part that I think is more interesting because we're getting upstream. What we talked about right now is like, whoa, you got a problem. Stop. You know, if you get in a hole, stop digging. You know, if you're on fire, put the fire out first. Let's do that first. But now we're talking about an ongoing lifestyle, right? We're talking about how do we stay free from this long time. Well, the first is to understand a little bit about habits. Charles Duhigg has a book called The Power of Habit. And if you want to read that book, I don't know if it mentions pornography at all, but it has a phenomenally good explanation of how habits work. And so the really short, piece for this podcast is that there is a trigger that happens that then makes you do an action, and the action that gives you a reward. And so this is probably sitting down with a piece of paper, just thinking and go, okay, what is the trigger that causes me to want to view pornography? And when that trigger happens, what do I put in as a different reward? And that different reward can be everything. And these are just things that I've talked to people that have worked. Sometimes it doesn't sound like a reward. When that happens, I'm going to make myself do 10 push-ups. But then the euphoria that comes from being fit or being the push-up works more. Sometimes people say, oh, wait a second, that's not really sounds very rewarding. Sometimes the trigger can be the reward is I'm going to make myself a cup of coffee. I'm going to do something else. But the point is you can re-engineer your habits. And it's worth leaning into that. But I want to take one step further. And I want to offer one of two things. I want to start with this. I believe that spiritually, the heart of why this is such a powerful temptation and such a devastating sin, especially for men, is that at some level, as being made in the image of God, and I think that this happens in a particularly powerful way for men, and I don't know that I've got all the theological or philosophical ideas about this, so listen slightly skeptically, but still take this into consideration, is that men have an overwhelming desire to create and to build. And I think that's a good thing, made in the image of God. Let's just state without getting explicit here that building a human is kind of the ultimate expression of that creativity. And so consequently, then that action gets short-circuited. That's a massive win for the enemy. So I just want to say that, you know, some Christian circles, we don't think about the devil very much. I kind of come from one of those backgrounds. But the Bible's pretty explicit about we have an enemy. And sometimes as a man, knowing that we're fighting something real is helpful. And so I just want to tell you very directly, you are fighting an enemy that wants to destroy you. And this is an extremely effective tactic. Are you going to let the enemy succeed in this war with this tactic? And know that that tactic is successful because it's hitting at something that's at the core of your identity, this ability to create. All right. Consequently, in almost every situation, when I talk to somebody who's addicted to pornography, what is lacking in their life is an outlet for creativity and productivity. And so in other words, I'm willing to bet that if you're struggling with pornography right now, that the time that pornography is filling is time that is empty because it's not being channeled into something productive. And when I say productive, I want to just be super broad on this. Productive is as infinite as the human beings that are made in God's image, right? In terms of variety. Productive could be physical fitness. Productive could be time with friends. Productive could be making music. Productive could be earning money. Productive could be building, crafting something. Productive could be reading and enhancing your mind. I mean, we're talking about an entirely wide, huge, enormous spectrum. We're not talking about a very limited scope here. The point is that if you are finding yourself in a place, especially as a young man, where you have energy because of your youth and of your vigor, and you're not channeling that energy into some sort of creative action, that this is a particular sin for our time because of technology, and this is going to likely come in and attempt to fill that spot. And when I say likely, I mean deliberately as engineered by an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two things to add on to that. All of that is very, very wise counsel. For one thing, you can do a lot to fill your time more productively and just make it so that it doesn't feel like it is as much of an option. And biologically, let's go down to that level. When you are physically active, when you are engaged with things physically and mentally, but I'll stress here physically, you can look up the scientific data on this. We're not going to get into that here, but you can look up the scientific data that if you are more physically active, if you're burning off a lot more of that just physical energy on working hard on something, go for a run, as I would always say, or like go to the gym, find some building project where you are moving heavy things, getting some of that energy out. That is going to practically, biologically help with some of those cravings. So that's one part of this. The other part of this is that I think that Jonathan hit on a really important thing with talking about the root of this being a lack of a creative outlet. I think that there's another part here where a lot of the time it ends up feeling like a way to feel some sort of connection point, because we talked about this recently on an episode with Jeff Pinkleton, that most men feel lonely and don't have real connection or real friendships. And even if you have friends that you are able to hang out with and talk with on a regular basis, it can still feel lonely. And this and pornography is a very easy, convenient way to manufacture in your mind a way to just shortcut immediately to what is supposed to be some of the most intimate community that you can possibly have. And so a way to counteract that is to build real community with real people. Not only does that help to combat against that loneliness that you feel that ends up feeding into that addiction, you have real people who can keep you accountable and can also just keep you busy. If you have a friend group who you are able to be hanging out with on a consistent basis and you are having fun with and talking with regularly, that's going to reduce the amount of just time that you have on your hands to be tempted to be doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And so that's something that we can't overstate enough, is having a healthy, real community can genuinely help things like this. And especially let's just be real with this. Like especially if you're a young man who doesn't have a relationship, but wants one. And if it just feels like this is a shortcut to get there, the real way to get to actual fulfillment in that regard is to be a part of real community.
Final piece here that I want to really stress is that this this challenge, this problem that you have to overcome, the only positive aspect I can add to you is that controlling your physical desires and channeling them to things that are greater than you are is the very beating heart of responsible Christian manhood. In other words, to truly be a man, at some fashion, is to overcome the desires of your flesh, submit those to Christ, and choose a different path, even if it's harder. And so what I would offer to you is this is both a challenge and as a kind of encouragement. Young man, this is one of the primary ways this challenge is expressed in our time and place and culture. This is the particular way. Other cultures and other times have had to deal with it in other ways, right? And sometimes it was as base as survival. And sometimes it was as real as not going to the brothels like everybody else. I mean, like in some ways we have some advantages here, right? So this is the challenge of our time and place. And your ability to overcome that challenge is the ultimate test of manhood. This is your opportunity to prove that you are more than your instincts, that you are not a base animal, that you are in control of your body, not the other way around, that you have the Christian discipline to submit yourself to the holiness that God calls you to. And you don't do that as just a method of you know, macho endurance. You do that expecting a reward. Scripture is very clear about this. You know, in Hebrews, there's the whole in chapter 11, the whole, you know, hall of fame of faith all comes with, they did this expecting a reward. That to act in faith is to expect a reward. Well, what is reward in this place? Well, first, the reward is to follow Christ, to be holy, and to accept his grace and those things. But there is a tangible reward in this world. It is to live in freedom. It is to have way better relationships. It is to be much healthier. It is to reserve this really special, beautiful thing that God has given us, our sexuality, for the places and times that it is meant for, and not to literally prostitute it by falling to the enemy's tactics and giving into pornography. So we hope that that is an encouragement to you. We also hope that it's a call to action for you. And I want to say that, you know, you are not alone in this, but it is a battle that you need to fight, and it is a battle worth fighting, and it is a battle that is winnable, starting with the fact that God, that Christ offers grace, full, complete, total cleansing grace, continuing with the fact that this ought to drive you and lead you to community, and that will have benefits beyond just beating this particular thing. And then finalizing with this, you know, the whatever you're wasting in pornography could be magnified into production. But more than that, that your ability to overcome this and to say, no, I'm in control of who I am, and I submit to something bigger and greater, is ultimately the ultimate test of manhood. So are you worthy, and are you ready to commit to that?
Yeah. I amen to all of that. And I think that as we close this, I would just like to remind you, because maybe you're listening to this and you're not a young man, maybe you fall into a slightly different category than that, or your addiction or whatever you're struggling with looks slightly different than that. But I just want to reiterate that if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have accepted the salvation, the free gift of salvation that Christ has offered us, God sees you, all of you. He saw every single transgression that you have ever made and that you ever will make. He has seen all of that, and he has paid it all. And he says that he loves you, and that you were worth giving up Christ for, to pay for that sin so that you can live free from that sin. And he no longer sees you as that thing. That is not your identity. Pornography is not your identity. It is so tempting when you're in the midst of it to say, but in, you know, everyone else sees me as this, but inside I know that I am a porn addict. Let me hear this clearly. No, you are not. That is not your identity. Christ wants to completely wipe that away from you. And so just hear all of these practical things, hear these encouragements, hear these stories. But more importantly, no matter what it is specifically that you are struggling with, Christ does not want you to have that be part of your identity. Christ wants to be your identity. And so look to him, hold on to that, and chase after that with everything that you have, using all of these tools, but ultimately so that your relationship with him can blossom and flourish and be what it is ultimately meant to be.
We're recording this on Thursday of Holy Week. And so just a reminder, Sunday's coming. In other words, the resurrection is coming if you're in the middle of Holy Week. But for us, the resurrection has come. And in other words, all those things that David said is the reality that we live in. We live in the reality and the light of the risen Christ. And don't forget those things. As we end this, we often tell you about what we're doing in Unbound, all those things. I want to say you can go to beunbound.us and you can learn about all the things that we do. But we'd send you there if you are truly in a spot where you are isolated and you were lost and you can't find anybody else to talk to. Go to beunbound.us, contact us, say, I listen to this podcast, I need to talk to David or Jonathan. Or my email address is jonathan@beunbound.us. You could email me directly. I want to stress, better if you have local people that know you and love you and all those kinds of things. But if you are lost in this and you don't have anywhere else to go, then call us. We as Christian brothers are standing by. We will pray for you. We will talk to you directly, and we will coach you into hopefully finding the kind of community and the help that you need. This is not ground that we are going to cede to the enemy. This is ground that we are going to regain, and that you can regain, and that freedom is possible, and it is possible in light of the resurrected Christ. And keep that in mind as you head into whatever challenges you're facing next, including this one.
And actually, one more thing to add on to that. First of all, my email is podcast@beunbound.us if you'd like to reach out. And 2 days after this episode airs, if you are listening to this on Wednesday, April the 8th, we are going to be recording a Q&A episode. And so if you have questions for us about pretty much anything, if you want to follow up on anything that we've talked about in this or previous episodes, if you have a question about something that we haven't talked about before, or if you're just curious about something that you would just like to hear answers from either Jonathan or myself or both of us, you can also just email that to podcast@beunbound.us, and we will be recording that episode, like I said, a couple days after this episode airs. And so if you would like to get one of your questions answered, please submit that. We will be delighted to read your questions. And if we don't get to them on the episode, there's a good chance that we'll reply to them anyway via email or however you send to us. So make sure you send those in to us as well.
Until next time, be unbound.